Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
8:13, beautiful spring morning as we head into the second part of April, joined by Ronald Surpass, since it is Wednesday morning, as we are most Wednesday mornings, professor of practice, Department of Criminal Justice at Loyola, former NOPD superintendent, head of the Washington State Police, Nashville City Police. You're liable to find him pop up on your cable channel as they talk about crime here or there or incidents here or there. How you doing, Chief?
I'm great, Tommy. How are you?
I'm all right. I like to pick your brain. You know that. So before we get to Helena Moreno's crime plan, I want to talk about the French Quarter Fest shooting and a couple of different questions that I have about it. First of all, there is nothing more that NOPD could have done. You got the guy. I think they saw him put the gun into his pants. When they find him and arrest him, the gun is hot to the touch, indicating it had just been fired. Only 11 rounds remaining, a 22-round extended magazine. Your thoughts on all of this, and I'll ask my questions.
Well, I think this is the case that we could consider an observation. One is, A, the NOPD did a tremendous job. They are doing the best they can, given the circumstances they're provided by the city. Secondly, when people choose to do these types of violent acts, it doesn't matter if the police are standing next to them. I've seen that myself. We've all seen that. Third, take this for a second. If someone is willing to commit such a violent act in front of everybody, to include police, what's the chances, Tommy, you think that that person's been in front of a few judges in their life who just kept saying, oh, man, it's not your fault. We're going to give you a break. Oh, you know, I know you committed that crime, but, you know, it's an oppressive world and you're really not responsible. I'm being sarcastic for a reason. People don't just wake up one day normally and say, I'm going to bring a gun to a big crowd and start shooting at people. They have most likely been in the criminal justice system that it treats it like a McDonald's drive-through window, and then police officers and citizens are having to live with this.
Chief, is there a way, I don't mean to catch you flat-footed here, but I would think you would know, where we could, somebody can go and when somebody is charged with a crime like this, check their arrest record and criminal record and so forth? Because it is public record,
one
right?
Thing you could. Yeah, I'm not exactly sure what's the best way to be able to do that these days, how you could do it. Sometimes you could just go look at a sheriff's booking information on the internet, because it's part of our Constitution that we don't hide people in prisons, right? So there has to be a public. It's called, they used to call it the rule book. I mean, the book.
The blotter, right?
That's how you knew where. Well, yeah, and that's how you knew where people were, which is fundamental to the Constitution's protection of defendants. However, and I don't know if this one particular guy has been in trouble, but my experience of 4.5 decades would be it's a really good chance he's gotten the soft touch from a judge in a drive-through window of justice and decides to shoot some people at Decatur and Iberville. Maybe not this time. More often than not, that's the case.
Well, I'm not arguing with you. I was curious to look it up because I find it hard to believe that, you know, you go from being an honorable citizen and just tax-paying citizen, going to church Sunday, everything else, and I'm going to the extreme here. But then you get in a fight at French Quarter Fest, you pull a Glock with an extended magazine out and start firing into a crowd. I don't see that happening too often. One other thing I wanted to ask you from a criminology standpoint. I'm looking at this guy's booking picture. It looked like he could be a football player, 6'3", got to be 250, 300 pounds. When it comes to gun violence, is there any correlation between physical size or anything like that, or age when it comes to who's more prone to pull out a gun when a fight breaks out, or not really?
I'm not sure I see in my experience, not academically, but in my experience, I'm not sure the size ever made a difference. What made a difference is that if a young man or woman said, nobody's ever made me do anything that I didn't want to do before, I'm going to carry a gun, mm-hmm. and I'm going to use that gun to allegedly protect myself. And we've talked about this before, Tommy. To me, the fallacy of this argument is that some people will say, a young man carried a gun because the oppressive government made him feel like he couldn't communicate his fears. You know, there's a little something to that. But part of the argument that
say,
drops
say that part
off,
again.
Some people
what?
Who believe that.
That what?
There are some people who believe it's always society's fault that a young man carries a gun like that because he can't trust government. Well, the problem with that is, but when they shoot into a crowd wantonly at 30 or 40 people, then what?
Can't trust government to do what? Wait, can't trust government to do what? I don't.
But keep them safe.
The police were right there.
No, I'm talking about, you asked about gun, why somebody uses
oh,
a gun.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I get you. Okay, not yes. a specific case. I got you. Okay.
Right. So there's a group of people who suggest that people who are carrying guns on the street are protecting themselves because they can't trust a government that's systemically whatever. Okay, there's probably some arguments that are around that that might make a bit of sense now and then, but it never makes sense that these young men being exempted by that type of argument shoot into a crowd with 20 or 30 people and everybody says, well, you know, he didn't trust the government to protect him. That's so uncanny. It doesn't make any sense. And I think citizens see through it like a piece of glass when they hear those arguments.
The other question, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, that's all right. Finish, please.
Well, you can't expect that there are not going to be some people who were in a bad time and a wrong time. But walking around Decatur and Iberville with a Glock extended magazine, as you described, is not someone who has probably never been involved with crime, violence, or the criminal justice system.
I want to pick it up here. We come back because my question is, we just had this big report come out from the Teneo group about French Quarter safety, barricades, etc. But none of that would have addressed any of this because it would have been in contradiction to state law, right?
I think that's true.
Okay, we'll pick it up. We come back talking to Ronald Surpass. We will get to Helena Moreno's crime plan eventually, but stuff keeps happening, and I want to pick the chief's brain about it because he knows what he's talking about. Ronald Surpass, former NOPD superintendent. Y'all got any questions, comments? Open our jeweler talk and text lines open, 504-260-1870. Text data message rates may apply. Please do not text and drive. 820 traffic now, WWL. 825 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Wednesday morning, we always talk, well, most of the time, talk to Ronald Surpass, professor of practice, Department of Criminal Justice at Loyola, former NOPD superintendent, head of the Washington State Police, Nashville City Police, and a noted national expert on crime. So, Chief, we're talking about the French Quarter security plan that was released last week, which I believe you and I discussed, or at some point we did. State law allows you to conceal carry if you're not now, I don't know what this guy's record was. I still haven't been able to find it. So if he was a convicted felon, he was violating the law. So that law would have prevented that. But generally speaking, as it relates to the security plan and this incident, the security plan would have done nothing to address this. Does something need to be done about state law to address?
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
That's that, or what do you think? From the criminologist, not political standpoint.
Well, the ultimate idea here with the Tonino work is I respect it. I respect the work of the people, and I know the people, and I think they do very good work. The problem is the French Quarter hasn't changed. The streets haven't changed. The businesses haven't changed. The residential areas, the business areas, the tourist areas. So it's always going to have to be a compromise between those three factions in one of the most beautiful parts of the country. The issue of gun control is really how we manage the world. I mean, the public voted for it. That's what they want. The legislature responded. Now it's a matter of determining, are there exemptions that need to be made? So one thing I would say to you is there's probably not very many laws that there's not some exemption someplace, sometimes for really good reasons. I tended to think that an exempted gun zone in the French Quarter made a lot of sense from my experience, but the legislature spoke. I would still recommend that they consider a gun law exemption for the French Quarter. But then there'll be others who say, well, what about the DDD? And then what about the Marigny? And then what about the Bywater? So the legislatures have to, by and large, less guns are better around particularly alcohol and crowds.
And the other side of it is, if he was a convicted felon, then he's violating the law anyway, and a law wouldn't have made a difference unless you go to some type of metal detector or something like that to keep him from ever getting in. And from a law enforcement standpoint, and knowing the French Quarter as you do, having pounded the beat, when you first started, could that ever work? Do you ever see that happening?
I don't think that technology exists yet. Mm-hmm. Maybe one day there will be a technology that could do something like that, everybody walking, but I'm just not aware of any of that existing yet. So you have to compromise the three parties, right? Residents, business, tourists, and common sense and technology. And, you know, try to get to a solution. Totally understand it, but it's not something that just one person could say, this is the way it's going to be.
And the election's not for a while, so we can talk about Councilmember Moreno's plan next week. While we have a couple of minutes left here, I don't think I did talk to you about the Tonino plan. What are your thoughts on it after seeing? I know you know a lot of people on there. You worked with them. What were your thoughts about the plan that they released?
I think they do competent work, and a lot of times what consultants do, and that's what I do, is you go to another community and you point out things probably that people already knew, but this idea of an external authenticator, someone from somewhere else saying, this doesn't make much sense anymore. Those kinds of things are helpful for cities when they're trying to decide what direction they're going to go in. As to any mayor plan, here's the thing, Tommy. There are so many companies in the country that can tell you how many cops you need. We should do that and quit guessing, right? We guess, and we don't have to guess.
Thank you, Chief. Appreciate your time as always. Ronald Surpass, Professor of Practice, Department of Criminal Justice at Loyola, former NOPD Superintendent. We come back. We're talking to Michael Fitz, President of Tulane. It's Tulane Day at the state capitol. We'll check in with President Fitz about the impact the school has had, bigger problems of addressing brain drain in Louisiana. And I will remind you, it is Wednesday, a beautiful day. So why don't you plan on joining Newell, Normand, and myself at the Wednesday at the Square Young Leadership Council's concert series, Lafayette Square, CBD. A lot of great local music, emerging artists, food, art, crafts. It's all free and open to the public. Bring some money if you want to eat something or drink something or maybe buy some arts or crafts or something like that. Time to unwind, hang out after work at Wednesday at the Square, Lafayette Square. It starts at 5. Me and Newell will be out there. And we're going to introduce the Soul Rebels and Motel Radio presented by Abita Brewing Company, the YLC, and WWL. And Brooke Laser, who's with the Young Leadership Council, texted me yesterday. You can actually go to 10best.usatoday.com, the numeral 10best.usatoday.com, and vote for the Young Leadership Wednesday at the Square to be the best outdoor concert series. So why don't you do that and see if we can win. Back in a flash, WWL. 845, quarter till 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Wednesday morning, April 16th, it happens to be Tulane Day at the state capitol. President Michael Fitz of Tulane University is going to be at the capitol talking about the different things, that challenges that the state is facing and that Tulane's helping to make a meet. Good morning, President Fitz. How are you?
Thank you, Tommy. Good morning to you.
Thanks for taking the time with us. I appreciate it. Let's talk about some of the things that Tulane does as it relates to brain drain and what problems the state's facing.
Yeah, I mean, we've all focused on the fact that we're losing population in Louisiana, and Tulane is really I think a central actor in combating that and really drawing top people to Louisiana and keeping talent in Louisiana. We literally launched several years ago Louisiana Promise, which offers no loan attendance at Tulane for everybody making under $100,000. And it's been a huge impetus to keeping top students in Louisiana and spending their careers in Louisiana. Louisiana is now our leading state of students in the incoming class.
How do people find out more about that, President Fitz?
They should contact us. It is literally intended to cement our relationship with Louisiana and give opportunities for top students here to come to Tulane and not, you know, graduate without any loans at all.
I would like you to also say that again, if you could, because I got to tell you, I got to plead ignorance on this, and that's the first time I'm hearing about this, and I think that's huge. Say it again, please.
Oh, yeah, it's we call it Louisiana Promise, and it's part of our commitment to Louisiana. We launched it several years ago, and students whose families make under $100,000 and are admitted to Tulane can come to Tulane no loan. In other words, they can graduate without any loans. And it's been hugely successful among students who are admitted to Tulane and qualify for this. Over 90% choose to come to Tulane.
Wow. That's awesome. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I just wanted to get that out there again.
No, it's been great. I mean, the other part, obviously, is we are an economic engine for Louisiana. We literally have an impact of over $5 billion a year, which is up from $3 billion. And one of the largest private employers in the state. We've added 1,200 jobs. We, in a sense, impact 30,000 across the state. You got to think of us not only as a, I think a great academic institution, but also a great economic institution for growth in the future of Louisiana.
I want to talk more about the medical corridor and the transformation of Charity Hospital, but in a couple of minutes before the break, President Fitz, everybody's got a story, right? And I want to hear yours. How do you go from being Michael Fitz, who's 10 years old and running around in a backyard, to being the president of Tulane University?
It's obviously the greatest honor in my life. It's a dream come true. Tulane, it's not only one of the great universities in the world, but it's special. It's different. It's got the culture of New Orleans and Louisiana. It's got the joie de vivre and the relational context that you really don't find anywhere else. And we're just unique, and that's what attracts students from around the country to come to Tulane, and it's what keeps, I think, students in Louisiana here to come to Tulane.
But you personally, did you think at 10 years old you would be the president of a university? I just always like to hear everybody's story, that's all.
I wanted to play right field for the Atlanta Braves.
Did you?
That was probably my first choice. But given that I didn't have a good enough arm, that really wasn't a possibility. So after that, I decided to be become a law professor and ultimately ended up being offered this wonderful position at Tulane. And I've been here now for over 10 years, a long time.
Do you ever stick your nose in the Tulane baseball program at all? A couple of hints?
I don't think they would even let me be their water boy.
Okay. Well, I don't know about all that.
I bet
they'd give you a good seat. Let's take a break. We'll come back, talk about the medical corridor and a transformation of Charity Hospital. We're talking to Tulane President Michael Fitz. It's Tulane Day at the state capitol. He's going to be there talking about some of the things that Tulane does for the state and for the city. And we'll continue the conversation when we come back. 850, 10 till 9, traffic now, WWL. 8:56, 4 till 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by President Michael Fitz of Tulane University. It's Tulane Day at the state capitol. President Fitz, talk about, if you will, the biomedical corridor, the transformation of Charity Hospital, and how that's developing into a hub for bioscience.
So thank you. This is my favorite topic. We are literally embarking on what is the largest, most significant initiative in the history of Tulane University, and may well be one of, if not the most important initiatives for New Orleans as well. We have a downtown campus, which is large at this point, 17 buildings, but we have exploding in our research. It's gone up 75% over the last few years, $220 million a year, and this is going to be the center of our research effort and the sort of the biomedical community building it. We're growing over a million square feet in space downtown for research labs, for bioscience, but also for startups. These are the companies that come out of your research and really can be the source of incredible economic growth. So this will be an innovation district and should be transformative not only for New Orleans, but we think will impact the state significantly as well.
And that's looking forward. Of course, energy has always been a part, an important part of the state's economy. Tulane's involved there too, right?
Yes, we just held a huge energy forum, bringing together thought leaders, government officials, scientists from across the country. And energy, as you know, is not only critical to Louisiana, but it's critical to the United States. And Tulane, with a School of Science and Engineering and Business, is really focused on how best to develop the energy sector in a significant, thoughtful way and help the Louisiana economy as part of that.
President Fitz, I got to ask you, because it is out there. You know, the president said some bad things about Harvard today, and I know you went to Harvard and Yale and freedom of expression on campus. How much of a challenge is the current political atmosphere for you as a university president to make sure that everybody's protected, but everybody still has their freedom of speech?
Well, it's a great question. And I think Tulane and the Tulane community has handled this extremely well over the last few years. Obviously, we, like all universities, we have differences of views within the community, and we support people in expressing those views. But we also have ensured that there is no disruption of the program or people. Nobody threatens anyone else. And again, I think we've and the Tulane community has handled this as well as any university in the United States.
Thank you, President Fitz. I appreciate your time. Roll wave.
Fire away. Thank you, Tommy.
Thank you, sir. You bet. Michael Fitz, president of Tulane University. Stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to talk to Courtney Jackson, CNET senior streaming editor, about cutting the cord and different streaming services and how to audit what it is that you're paying for and more. Back in a flash, WWL.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new unrivaled league, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.